All right, welcome back. We're going back to back with NFL interviews. We're joined right now by a safety for the Green Bay Packers. He is a Pro Bowl alternate. Six tackles, a tackle for a loss, a sack, a quarterback hit, and a fumble recovery in a big game in that win over Houston on the season. 23 tackles, two quarterback hits, a tackle for a loss, and a sack. He's also pledging $1,000 per tackle to the Wisconsin chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Played his college ball at Penn State. Green Bay is 5-1 on the season, and they've got a big one at home against Minnesota on Sunday. Adrian Amos is my guest. Adrian, great to have you back on. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for having me on.
It's good to have you on. All right, so let me ask you about Sunday's game against Houston first before we move on. The team was coming off that tough loss to Tampa Bay, so I'm curious, what was the mood among the players like throughout the week and in the build-up to facing the Texans?
Really just learn what we did wrong against Tampa and then throw that away. Bury that game and then get moving forward. The move was great during the week. Everybody just focused, locked in, getting back in on our assignments and playing technically sound football. And then, it showed on Sunday when we played.
Right. Adrian Amos is joining us. So in terms of your assignments going to that game, you were talking about how important it was for the defense to be disciplined when going up against Deshaun Watson. When you're in the back end of the defense, how important is it then to plaster more when you're facing him? And then what did you make of the way the team executed on that strategy?
For sure. We had to, cover for longer. You have to cover for longer because, he's probably one of the hardest quarterbacks to tackle, if not the hardest quarterback to tackle in the pocket. He's so strong, and a lot of times he shrugs off, even defensive linemen coming after him. So we just know we had to plaster, cover for that extra second in the back end and then take advantage of opportunities.
And then there were some critical moments. For instance, at the start of the fourth quarter, the Texans had a 3rd and 3 inside your 10. You blew past your blocker. You sacked Watson for a 12-yard loss. What did you see on that play, and how good did it feel to get home like that?
It felt good because they picked up the blitz pretty well. I just had to try to beat my man. I've been getting after the D lineman about my pass rush skills, so. Hopefully I have more opportunities to blitz like that. But, that's a big play in the game when we can get, negative plays on third down and force, force field goals when they get in the red zone.
Dude, you got to flash that pass rushing ability when you can. Adrian Amos is joining us, right? So the defense had another stop in the red zone on Houston's next drive, forced a field goal as well. You mentioned that you felt like the team had not been as good or as effective in the red zone as you'd like to be. So what's the key to success in the red zone, and then how happy were you that the guys did execute that way on Sunday?
Those things as far as pass rush being technically sound, the margin for error is slim in the red zone. Because you have to be tight to receivers and create small windows, make it hard, and then first and foremost you have to stop the run. So when we get them into third down situations, I feel like we can get them off quick because those point swings are big. When you can hold them to 3 instead of 7, you're saving those 4 points, and those can be really big come into the game.
It's obvious that it's a next man up league, but never more so than this year, given everything that's going on in the world. As a defense, you were missing a number of guys, but the guys who filled in did maintain the standard. They did. So how proud were you of how the entire defense showed up on Sunday?
Oh, for sure. When they come in, we all have the same standard on defense. No matter who's in there, you've been at practice, you've been in the film room, and we're trying to maintain that standard throughout the locker room. When you in, it's it is that next man up, and the next man is expected. It's expected of him the same thing that was of the starter. So when we in there, we try to be a brotherhood on defense, and we got your back. But we also are counting on you to do your job.
All right, so if it's a brotherhood and there's that understanding and there's that expectation and that accountability, for instance, you've got Henry Black. He forced a fumble. Right. You recovered it to officially end Houston's hopes. After the game, you talked about the fact that Black had 3 plays. He had 2 tackles. He forced a fumble. Like, how cool is it for you to see him have that kind of an impact when he got that opportunity?
Man, it just gives you an extra boost when you see guys that just, work hard, they're quiet, they come and they do their job each and every day at practice. He's been on practice squad and on scout team all of this time, just waiting for the opportunity and just to see, in circumstances you don't know, never know when that opportunity is going to come, but just to see him take advantage of it this game is, it's just great to see.
Adrian, how key is that for anybody in that league? Like, you, to your point, you never know when that opportunity is going to come, and you know the old adage, it's better to stay ready than get ready, but right. It's not as easy as that, right? It's to doing the work and staying ready for an opportunity that may or may not come, but it's so important in that league. What does that challenge involve? What's that like for guys?
It's very challenging because, it's kind of nerve-wracking because, you've been hoping and praying for that chance, and then when you get out there, you don't want to mess up. Because you never know if you're going to ever get that opportunity again. Some players in this league don't have the luxury of, messing up once or twice. Everybody's not a first rounder that gets, a few years to show what they can do. Some people only get a couple plays to show what they can do. And if they don't impress in those couple plays, then it may never come back around to them. So that's why it's just you see the sideline, you see other players just react a lot differently when a player like that comes in and makes plays because that's their opportunity and that's their shot.
Right. Adrian Amos joining us. So you know how the league is, right? When you're undefeated, right. Everybody's hyping you. You lose one game, right. Then everybody says, these guys are so overrated. Like, you know how the league is. You're 5-1 on the year. You went to the NFC Championship last year, and so you know what it's like to be in that position. How high, then, is the ceiling for this group?
It has to be high. When you get into the season, when you start day one of training camp, you have the highest of expectations of yourself. You have to. I think everybody in the league, has that or should have that confidence in themselves that they can win it all. So that's what we got to do. But we have to take it one game at a time. Then next week we play the Vikings, and that's what our focus has to be on. Is getting prepared and getting ready, taking these practices one step at a time to get to our ultimate goal.
Yeah, speaking of the Vikings, they're coming to your place this weekend. Normally, and that's such a fierce rivalry, normally Lambeau would be incredibly loud for that game. What's it been like to play without that loud crowd support this year?
Man, we're adjusting to it. Our fans are big. You can see it even in these away games when we have limited crowd. Our fans are there. It kind of felt like a home game away from home this week, just with our fans crowding the stadium. So we love that our fans travel well. But when we're at home, we have to we have to bring our own juice, and try to find that that fuel within ourselves to get hyped up, for the game and to create that atmosphere for ourselves.
A few weeks back, I thought you had a great tweet. This is kind of off topic, but when the Lakers won the NBA title, you tweeted, quote, "No such thing as an easy ring, though." Too many non-athletes throw that term around. I don't care who you play in modern professional sports. If you win a championship, you won a championship, nothing easy about it, end quote. I think it's a great point you make. What's your reaction then when you hear folks say that winning a title in the bubble is easier or you should slap an asterisk on it?
Yeah, I don't like that because, people don't understand how hard it is to win. It winning is a hard thing. It's much easier to go 0-15 or 0-16 than to go 16-0. It's just it's the amount of work you have to put in. These are the best athletes in the world. The person, in front of you that you're playing against each and every week was, the best player on that team in college and the best player on that team in high school. And just the top 1% of anything that, of that particular sport in the world. So anytime you win a championship, anytime you win a game, it's something to celebrate.
Adrian Amos is my guest for a few more moments. I mentioned at the top that you are pledging $1,000 to the Wisconsin chapter of the Alzheimer's Association for every tackle you make this season. It's a pledge that you made in honor of your grandmother, Geraldine Thompson, who passed away in June. How would you describe your grandmother, and what kind of an impact did she have on you?
She had a great impact. She instilled a lot of discipline within the family. She had a kind heart. She was very straightforward. She told you like it was 100% of the time. But she was also the woman that everybody came to for everything. Whether you were family or not, she took care of you. She made sure you ate. She made sure you had something to wear. And she always made you feel loved and welcome. So I think, you know, in honoring her, just giving back, and I feel as though that's something that will make her proud to, you know, just to see me, you know, passing on that giving spirit that she had.
What a great effort by you, and she sounds amazing. I want to ask you this. Yeah. Your commitment and involvement with the Alzheimer's Association is not new. You and I talked about your work for them last year. For right. people who have not had a loved one impacted by Alzheimer's, what do you want them to know about its impact, and what kind of a toll did it take on her and on your entire family?
Yeah, it's just a, you know, a person that you can see in your family that's so strong that that becomes, you know, basically an infant. They become their mind, you know, starts to deteriorate, and you start to basically go backwards in time, and it just takes a toll on that person and the people that have to care for them. You have to help them eat. You have to help them do simple things as far as tie shoes and, you know, wake up in the morning to brush your teeth. So it affects, you know, a lot of families around the world. And I know that a lot of people don't have the help and the resources to deal with those things. So I just think it's important to be patient with people going through the disease, you know, and be sympathetic in a way to the families and that are cared for them, because, you know, they deserve a lot of credit for what they have to put up with on a daily basis, helping a person with the sickness.
I so appreciate your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
One last thing. It's obvious how much respect and how much love you had for your grandmother. You were so well known for your work ethic. How much of that work ethic came from watching her and learning from her?
Oh, for sure. When I was if I slept at my grandma's house, which I did a lot of summers, and, you know, even during the week sometimes, night before school days, I'm always up, you know, even on Saturdays, up in the morning, 6 a.m., well, whenever the light came up. If she was up, I was up, and I had to be doing some type of chores. I had to be outside, you know, raking leaves or cutting grass or, you know, just I've always had to be active, and I had to be working, and I had to be pushing for something.
No doubt about it. He's a safety for the Packers, a Pro Bowl alternate coming off that big game in that win over Houston. Green Bay is hosting Minnesota on Sunday. Safety Adrian Amos, my guest. Adrian, appreciate you. Appreciate your thoughts. And it's always good to have you on the show. Thanks for doing that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Good to have you back. And we'll do it again soon. Adrian Amos joining us.